to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Paul, and I just want to check, how do you pronounce your last name?
Rosalie.
Rosalie. Oh, I love it. Paul Rosalie, and the name of the book is The Girl and the Tiger. Now, it is not often that I wish that I was on television instead of radio. I love radio. But today, I wish I was on television because I would love to have you in the studio. You are so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, and you look like Tarzan, and you have the most adorable smile. The only thing I would worry about is that you would bring an anaconda with you.
You know I would.
I know you would. I never saw such big anacondas as when I was looking at your pictures. I mean... Woo!
We've been studying them for years down in the Amazon, and actually, I believe that in scientific literature, we have the world record for the largest live-caught anaconda in the wild.
How long is it?
Well, the one that we were able to catch was 18 feet 6 inches, but the biggest one that I ever tried to catch was something like 26 feet long, and it was so big that when I jumped on its back, it didn't stop. It just kept going, and it slithered into a lake, and I had to make the decision, either stay on the anaconda's back and drown, or let go, and I got to lay there as this giant animal went by with my hand on its scales as it disappeared into the water, and it was just, you know, I knew that if we had been able to catch an animal of that size, you know, you'd be on the front cover of National Geographic, you know, the centennial edition, but... It was a privilege to be so close to such an incredible animal.
Well, I mean, I would love to have you in the studio and you could just do push-ups because, I mean, you just...
I could do that.
You drive the girls crazy. Oh, I don't know.
We just do a live stream.
I guess we can't say girls. Women. I drive everybody crazy. I can tell you, you look great. You look like Tarzan. They should.
Aw, thank you so much.
They should let you star in a new movie. Woo! It would. As a matter of fact, they should do. I'm telling you. I'll tell everybody who's listening. All your publicists and people, do a real story with Paul, and people would watch it. I could tell you, you are amazing, not just because of all that you do for conservation and because you look so great, but you've raised so much money for conservation. You are such a I know that you've done $5 million to protection in the Amazon, and you do benefits, and you do so much, and it is such important work. And so tell us about this book then. Now, this, of course, is not an anaconda. This is a tiger. And how did you get the idea for this book? And tell us the background of The Girl and the Tiger, because it is a lovely book.
Well, The Girl and the Tiger, you covered so much there. Yes, I've spent 17 years living in the Amazon rainforest. And through that, interspersed with that, I've spent quite a bit of time living in India. And in that time, I've been able to spend considerable amount of time out in the jungle with the elephant herds in India. And even though the book is called The Girl and the Tiger, a lot of the focus of the book is the fate of elephants in the modern day India. And so I actually spent quite some time living with the herds of elephants in the forests. But because there's over a billion people in India, these elephants are increasingly confined into smaller and smaller patches of forest, and sometimes there's not enough food. And when there's not enough food, elephants are big and they're powerful, and they'll come onto farms and they'll steal banana plants or pineapples or something, and the local population does not react very well to that. And so there's a bit of a war going on between humans and wildlife in India. And this book came about because someone I had brought to the Amazon, I'd actually brought a family to the Amazon, and their daughter, who was 11 at the time, who absolutely loved being in the Amazon rainforest, went back home to India, and I got an email from her one time, and it said she found out that there was an orphaned tiger cub, and she said she was going to go rescue it, and she wanted my advice on what to feed it and whether or not it needed milk. And, you know, she said, "You're the wildlife guy. I just wanted to ask your help." She was 16 by this point. And so I got this email while I was in the jungle, And as far as I knew, this girl was going to go rescue a tiger cub. And so this is really the story of, it's sort of a modern-day Jungle Book imagined through these very real events that I've experienced. So it's a novel, but pretty much everything that happens in that book has happened to me in real life.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That, you know, you're a guy who was born in Brooklyn. Did you turn into this?
You know, Superman wasn't born on Earth, and then they, you know, he ended up liking it here. I don't know how I was born in Brooklyn. I just don't know. I mean, I love it. It feels, you know, of course, it's my family and a part of my home, and I love a good mozzarella. But it's my entire upper teens and into my, all through my 20s and 30s, I've literally grown up in the jungle. I mean, I dropped out of high school because they couldn't contain me, and I started going to college early. You know, I skipped the first 2 years of high school because they couldn't control me. I was getting into fights with gym teachers, and I bought myself a plane ticket, went to the Amazon, made friends with the local indigenous people, and started getting invited out on hunting trips. And that's my first book. That's Mother of God, which is about how I fell in with these local guys, and that's how we started Jungle Keepers. And Jungle Keepers now, you know, at the time we was just, you know, we popped our shoes off and we'd go out into the bush and go looking for anacondas and go on hunting trips with the native guys. I didn't realize, you know, the day they turned to me and they said, we need you to help us protect this river. I said, well, you know, what do you mean? I'm 17 years old. I work at the YMCA back in New York. Like, I don't know what you mean. But at that time, you know, people talk about, you know, fake it till you make it or imposter syndrome and all this stuff. And there's this period when you're finding your path in life that you don't know you've become that thing yet, you know? So at that time I was just some kid, and then you, little by little, you become, I realized that my responsibility was to the forest and to the animals and to tell these stories. Because of the animals, you know, they can't put on a suit and go address the United Nations. Their forest gets burned down, they have nowhere to live, they get shot by poachers. And we're losing species. We're losing species almost as bad as when the dinosaurs left the Earth. They're calling it the sixth extinction, and it's all because of us. And all we have to do to stop it is stop cutting down habitat. All we have to do is nothing, not cut down trees. I was just with elephants in Africa last week, and they are so incredibly emotional and so much smarter than people think. Then that it would shock most people how smart these animals are. They never forget a person. They know if you're excited, if you're sad, if you're on your cycle. They know if you're pregnant. They know everything about us before we do. They know what our blood sugar levels are. Their smell is so incredible. But we really have the opportunity to save these species. And so it was really the Amazon that catapulted all this into existence. And now we have Jungle Keepers, which is collaborating with the indigenous people as well as bringing in conservationists from all over the world from every type of background. And that's ordinary people as well as big tech billionaires and scientists. And yeah, we're protecting 50,000 acres and millions of heartbeats and trying to change the narrative from like doom and gloom and like, you know, the end of every David Attenborough documentary. He's like, you know, spends an hour telling you about the beautiful animals, and at the end he's like, yes, but unfortunately, it will soon all be gone, you know, and they leave you in your living room ready to jump off a cliff. No. We're the last generation that has the chance to turn this around. A lot of these animals are still here. It's not too late. And that's what my mission in life is, to speak for those animals, to save those wild places, and to make sure that, and then what happens as a result, those wild places are what creates the clean water and fresh air that we breathe and drink and need to survive. So we're in this together, and it's a very important moment in history. So that's what all my writing, all my books, all my, even my push-ups, that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, you know, I really, when I was reading about you, when I read the book, and then I was reading about you, and I kept thinking, because before the pandemic, I remember I had another author on, and we were talking about how they were killing so many elephants in Africa. Just,
oh my God!
I was on air, and I just started crying. I just, the thought of it. I mean, I have a 10-foot giraffe outside my front door, at my front door. His name is George, and he's 10 feet tall. He's made of wood, and I every morning,
really?
Every morning I say, good morning, George. I love George. I love giraffes. Ever since I was a kid, I love giraffes. Every morning I say, good morning, George. As a matter of fact, I had hoped to go to Africa, because the stories of them killing these elephants, I'm starting to cry. I can't believe believe people would kill an elephant. I can't. Make room for them. Just exactly as you said. Don't cut down the trees. There's enough space for people and elephants if we want. And that's why I think you have to. I don't think you're doing enough. I mean, fine, you raise 5 million or 50 million. You have to get even a wider audience. You should be on television every week. You should have a television series. I'm telling you, some Hollywood people listen to me and some television people listen to my program. Really, get Paul on television instead of the stupid reality shows or the ones that have no point. You need somebody like Paul who's passionate and who wants to save these animals.
Well, I mean, I'm doing all I can. It depends on other people opening up those doors. I'm you know, my entire existence and time here on Earth is for this mission. So it's just a matter of if that's what they want.
Well, Paul, you are doing a tremendous, tremendous job. Now, do you have a website where you want people to go, or people can help you, or people can get in contact with you?
So this is a crazy, crazy moment in our journey. We just started a new campaign. The thing is this. If 300,000 people donated $100, now all of us, you know, for some of us, that's your Starbucks bill for the month. A lot of people can afford $100, and if we all came together and just did that, we could save an entire tributary in the Amazon. I'm talking tens of millions of wild heartbeats, undiscovered medicines, indigenous cultures, endangered species. There's so much here, not to mention one of the greatest weapons we have against climate change, which is the forest itself. And so we're trying to promote this. It's www.junglekeepers.org. And we're launching this campaign. We're starting it. We're taking it to COP27, the Biodiversity Summit that's going to be in Montreal. We're taking this as international as we can. We're going crazy with it. This is our chance to save a river, to stop feeling bad about the environment and do something about it. And so that's, to me, it's that. It's get up out of your chair, take part in this, come out and see us in the field, come visit us. And by the way, you should definitely come out and visit the work that we've been doing in Africa through this organization called VetPaw, and you should have them on your show, because these are incredible guys rescuing elephants and endangered black rhinos in South Africa. Absolutely incredible, because they're using United States veterans after their service, post 9/11 veterans, and they're getting them out into the field where you have black rhinos. There's only 5,000 black rhinos left because they're being killed for their horns so ruthlessly, murdered, that they're in danger of going extinct. And so they're using, VetPaw is using these veterans who have this tactical knowledge and the ability to actually protect the rhinos on the ground.
Oh.
And so you're in a place where the rhinos are safe and the elephants are safe. And it's absolutely, it will restore a part of your heart that you lost. I guarantee you. You got to check these guys out.
That is brilliant use for veterans.
Yes.
Many who suffer from PTSD and they don't feel a purpose in life. This is giving them a purpose, a joy. This is brilliant. I will contact this group. I will help promote.
I'll make the introduction.
I would just love to have them on and talk about it, because I love to work with veterans. One of the things I like to do is to help them to start writing, not necessarily a book about what they went through, but a book, perhaps a cookbook, a book for their children, a romance, anything just to help them have other things to think about. But this idea of getting them involved in protecting wildlife is brilliant. And some of them could actually do push-ups with you.
Oh, absolutely. We get along just fine. They're all a bunch of big, tough boys over there.
Okay.
But yes, on Instagram, at Paul Rosalie, TikTok, at Jungle Keeper, junglekeepers.org. Definitely also check out VetPaw. There's so much exciting stuff going on, and we're trying more than ever to make it so that everybody can be a part of this. Everybody can come out to the places where we're doing this conservation work, take part in it, but we also need those donations. Small donations. Everyone can afford it, and then you can feel better for the rest of the year. You don't got to feel bad about the environment. You know what I mean? Like, scratch that one off, and you get a sick T-shirt. You get this beautiful T-shirt t-shirts that I designed myself.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get that. If I want the t-shirt, are you on the t-shirt with doing push-ups? I don't know. It's sort of,
make a special members version of that.
Okay. Well, I think those will sell out. Anyway, the name of the book is The Girl and the Tiger, and that's available on Amazon. But check out The Jungle Keepers, everybody. Paul, it's been absolute joy talking to you today.
Wonderful talking to you, too. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Oh, I didn't want to hang up on him. I will put his picture up on my website. This guy is gorgeous. Amazing. Everybody, think about Jungle Keepers and go to Jungle Keepers and donate some money. Bye.